Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. For their 90th anniversary in 2018, the Circle Cinema inaugurated a film festival featuring a Tulsa and Oklahoma-centric film and filmmaker focus. This year, the festival returns for a second year, again focusing on Oklahoma-born and area filmmakers, some of whom are fresh from showings at the Sundance Film Festival and South by Southwest. Highlights include American Heretics, a documentary on Carlton Pearson and the reaction to his spiritual conversion, Tarleton, a short film by Sterling Harjo on the aftermath of the 1985 fireworks factory explosion in that small Oklahoma town, and vintage showings of a Bob Dylan feature, Mask and Anonymous, and artist and filmmaker Larry Clark's Kids. I'm joined today by the Circle Cinema founder, Clark Weens, and the theater's programmer and the festival programmer, Chuck Foxen. The festival runs tomorrow through Sunday with events all throughout the day. You can learn more at circlecinema.com, but there's also an additional event on Monday, the theater's actual 91st anniversary. They join us today on Studio Tulsa. Clark and Chuck, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us. I know for your 90th anniversary, you started doing a film festival, and I guess the success of that inaugural film festival made you decide to try another one. Is this going to be an annual event?
We're planning on it if we survive this one. Yes, we are planning on it. Like you say, the 90th and now our 91st, and we're looking forward to the next one.
Tell us about the film festival and the sort of overall aim of this particular film festival, because there are film festivals everywhere. There's one in Oklahoma City. There's one just everywhere. So, right. So what is the focus for film festival?
Chuck's our program. Why don't you address a few of those?
This one's a little different than last year at Circle Cinema. Last year, we had some great opportunities, you know, had a bunch of A-list actors that had films in festivals, and, you know, a lot of things came together. This year, we kind of switched gears to selecting the films directly from festivals, which, you know, we attend every year. We go to Sundance, Toronto, Dead Center in Oklahoma City.
South by Southwest.
South by Southwest. And so we get a lot of exposure to film, and we just kind of started handpicking from there.
Was there a particular focus that you were looking for? Because it looks like nearly all of these films have some sort of Oklahoma connection.
Yeah, just programming at Circle Cinema, we know that films that do well, that resonate with our community, are original Oklahoma stories. Stuff that's not playing on stereotypes, almost stuff that's breaking stereotype of what people, almost take advantage of us for as Oklahomans. I'd say all these are very personal stories that, you know, break those stereotypes.
Mm-hmm. Looks like there's an interesting mix of feature films and documentaries. Is there any other categories we should think about that'll be occurring during the festival?
Not really, but we do have a lot of drama. But as you said, the Oklahoma basis is really what drives them. Mm-hmm. There's just so many movies about things, even in Northeast Oklahoma, that are focused on in this film festival.
Well, let's talk about some of the films that you've chosen for the festival. Perhaps one that I've heard more of advanced buzz about than any other would be American Heretics, The Politics of the Gospel. And this gets right into Oklahoma, the story of Carlton Pearson and Marlon Lavenhar at All Souls Unitarian.
They're definitely our partner in this venture of bringing this film to Tulsa. We'll subsequently bring it back later as a theatrical release, but right now we are so excited to show it. It is Oklahoma in its true face, and sometimes as Oklahoma appears to others. And it's interesting to stand back and take a look at ourselves from a different perspective, and I think you'll find that in this film.
Right. This film actually has a distributor now, which a lot of these films do not have yet. It was already picked up. But yeah, it touches on politics in Oklahoma and kind of the background of that and the dirty politics and stuff that go along with it.
Yeah, of course, there was a feature film that was made about Carlton's story. I assume this is more of a documentary?
More of a documentary, and that one is called, that was a doc too called Come Sunday. It was a drama of true facts, of course, but called Come Sunday, and we did quite well with that. And we expect to do the same with this. This is really into the roots of what Oklahomans are and what we are appear to others.
And in this film, like many other films that are in the festival, there'll be a question and answer session with filmmakers. In this case, it'll be Janine Butler and Catherine Butler.
Well, actually, because of that distribution agreement, they got tied up and had to go to New York. So we have Carlton Pearson and Marlon coming. for this event. We had planned that. I didn't want to mislead people. Uh-huh. They may still come there. Their event there is on a Friday night because they're opening it in New York City 2 days before we open it here at this festival. And at this appearance right now, they may or may not make it.
Uh-huh. We'll and find so out. This screening will be on Sunday in the afternoon. Uh-huh. And I guess I should mention that the festival actually begins on Thursday and runs through Sunday with, I guess, every screen doing different events.
Absolutely.
And different showings throughout that whole weekend.
And actually, it ends up on Monday. And Monday is our actual 91st birthday. Oh. The Circle opened on July 15th, 1928. On Monday, just to kind of not wrap it up at this time, which much to talk about, is it's free events. We have a birthday cake to be cut by Peggy Helmrich, and then the mayor will be there, G.T. Bynum, to cut the cake and share it for everyone. And then subsequent to that, we'll have Cold Justice, a film that was made right here in Tulsa.
That's right. This was with a beloved figure for a couple of generations of kids in Oklahoma, Carl Bartholomew, who was known as Uncle Zeb on KTUL for years. Right. He made this film, Cold Justice.
He also made the statement, eight's the place, for which, of course, was their claim to fame, but still is. And uh-huh. Carl started that.
This will be the 30th anniversary screening of the film. Uh-huh. So what you know, when you watch this film, you can go back and see you know, what Tulsa looked like 30 years ago.
Yeah, and some places it'll look amazingly the same, and other places it'll look pretty different.
I would imagine. not there anymore, maybe.
You'll see the brick without hamburgers. It's a film theater. Yeah.
Well, the other big event, I think, if you're just looking at the schedule, would be a showing of Mask and Anonymous. This also takes place on Sunday at 6 o'clock with an amazing producer and
story writer,
Larry Charles.
Larry Charles.
Who was involved in the making of this film.
Absolutely. And just some of his other side things were writing Art Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm and did the feature movie Borat. And actually, he's got a live show right now on Netflix.
Yeah, he's got a Netflix series right now, actually, too. Yeah, so he's still out there producing stuff.
Tell me about Mask and Anonymous.
This is a program we're working with the Bob Dylan Center. Larry Charles coming in town, talk about the film afterwards. This is a Bob Dylan. There's an ensemble cast with this one. I think everybody will enjoy.
Now, Bob Dylan
is in
co-wrote.
The film.
Co-wrote it.
And
he stars as well, yeah.
Stars as well.
Is it a show in which Bob Dylan plays himself, or is he playing a character?
It is like a music film, so he is a musician. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. So is it a musical performance film?
Like a parody on his position in music, yes.
Oh, okay, all right. Yes. Interesting. So this is an old film, though, right?
It is too old. It also,
I mean, 2003.
Right. Old to some people. Yeah.
This is
young to me.
We have 19 films playing, 24 events. This is one of our films we're playing on 35mm. People really like that format of exhibition. We felt like it was important to show that with our guests in town. You know, we wanted to show the film on the gold standard, so 35mm.
What I also noticed is there's quite a few films that feature writer, directors, filmmakers from Oklahoma.
Absolutely.
All We Have Is Now, I believe, Arrows of Outrageous Fortune.
Yes.
These are a couple of films, again, basically Oklahoma made.
You're right.
Oklahoma made, yes.
Yeah, the director of Arrows of Outrageous Fortune, that's a Oklahoma City filmmaker, Mickey Reese. And, I mean, you look at his career of just guerrilla filmmaking. You know, that guy's like making films in his own home with his friends. You know, he's actually got some, his career's really taking off. He's played at some really nice prestigious film festivals and really looking forward to see this film.
All We Have Is Now is the other film I mentioned that this is a Tulsa writer-director, Josh Downing. What do we know about this film?
Filmed in Tulsa. It's the world premiere of the film. Hadn't been shown anywhere else yet. That's one of our world premieres. It's kind of, this will showcase our Tulsa filmmaking crew. These guys are just coming up with great stories and good film.
And the soundtrack of that is all Oklahomans. I have not seen it, cannot mislead, but I've been told the soundtrack's great on it.
Now, I know in the past years we've had films that are made in Tulsa and principal people behind the scenes, like a director or a writer that comes from Tulsa, but a lot of times the film crew are coming in or it's
right.
a mixture of,
right.
But it sounds like we're getting to the point now where we have that community that can actually make films on a regular basis here.
The crew in Oklahoma has evolved. Big uh-huh. time, yeah. And they're, you know, they're making national TV shows. There's just tons of production happening right now in Tulsa.
And no small part due to the tax incentive that we've given. And it's grown, and they're one of our sponsors, the Oklahoma Film and Music Board, as is the Tulsa Film and Music Board, also one.
My guests today are Clark Weens and Chuck Foxen from the Circle Cinema. Chuck is the festival programmer for the Circle Cinema's second film festival, which takes place this weekend. Actually, it's much longer than a weekend. It's actually Thursday, with events going all the way through Monday, which will be the 91st anniversary of the Circle Cinema, and they join us today on Studio Tulsa. Well, I see a number of documentaries, and we talked about the one earlier, American Heretics, but there are a couple I think would be really interesting to mention. Is one is Bluebird, which is, again, this tells the origin stories of people like Garth Brooks and Taylor Swift that came out of the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville.
Absolutely. Actually, it was one of the hits of South by Southwest. It really, we heard more about that than any other movie. And of course, we've invited Garth Brooks. Will he be there? Probably not. But that's good. But it's just a fantastic film about a small cafe and a line shopping center that just took on letting anybody play music, and from whence came Taylor Swift, Garth Brooks, and many, many others.
Yeah, they have that kind of famous open mic night thing. But with that film, we're actually bringing the director and the cafe's general manager to come speak about it. So she'll be able to tell some like really nice
inside stories.
Yeah.
And virtually every event that you have somebody associated with the film in some way, whether it's filmmakers or the subjects.
Or in some cases, the actors themselves, which were involved in films in Oklahoma. We'll have some of those here.
I know the film festival last year and again this year has a thing of student shorts featuring high school and college students showing their shorts. But I want to mention one, which is a former Jinx High School student who's now making documentaries. This is Crystal Caiza. And this is her doc, Edgecomb. And I guess her former teacher will be doing a question
Clifton
and answer.
Raphael from Jinx, who is probably the most very astute and famous film maker here in Oklahoma for students, of course. She's coming, and actually it's going to be a lunch affair. You buy a ticket, you get a lunch with it from the Mother Road Market down the street. So, we're looking forward to it. And it's CNN, it's been publicized, it's been picked by several things. It's one of the best shorts they made in America in the last year or two.
Yeah, we actually got to meet her at the Tulsa FMAC party at Sundance. So she came up to our, that's where I actually met her.
Right.
First time I met her was at Sundance, because that's where that film Edgecomb premiered. So she's got a great upcoming career.
Absolutely.
In Jinx, she's the one that won the Emmy Award.
Yes.
With her other short film.
Other short.
So we're going to actually put that Emmy Award film that she won when she was in Jinx High School and pair it with this and then do the conversation after, like lunch and conversation. But I'm really excited about bringing her, because she's just an up-and-coming young African-American woman. And, you know, that's the whole gist of the festival, is telling these, like, personal stories to showcase these stories from Oklahoma, you know.
Now, one story that's not Oklahoma, it comes from, I guess these filmmakers are from Baja, Oklahoma, as we say, in Texas. That's Robert Bryce and Tyson Culver. They'll be coming up for their documentary, Juice, How Electricity Explains the World. Robert Bryce is
Tulsa. Tulsa native.
All right.
And there's a building with the Bryce building not too far from here. And he's gone off into Austin, Texas. And Tyson Coulson, who also worked with him on the film, they made a film that shows that the lack of electricity is what creates poverty. And even more, it's harder on the female gender than in the male. That wherever electricity comes, it tends to equalize that gender thing, because they can go out and be school now, where instead of staying home and doing fundamentals that you could handle with electricity in your absence. It's a fantastic film. They dropped a lot of money in it, and it's very well received. They, too, have just got distribution worldwide, so they're pretty excited about showcasing it here. And it, too, will be construed as a world premiere.
Now, it's interesting. You have this mix of new films, but you also mentioned Mask and Anonymous earlier, which that's from 2003.
Right.
Another film that goes back to 1995 is one directed by Tulsa native Larry Clark. That's his film, Kids.
Yeah, that's the one that we wanted to partner with Philbrick. With their...
Because they're doing the photographs of the Tulsa series.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah, and that just seemed like a nice fit. And, you know, actually, Scott Stolen, the director of Philbrick Museum of Art, will be here to introduce it and kind of contextualize it and also talk about a little bit about the photo exhibit downtown.
Mm-hmm. I know there are several special events associated with a film festival. One will take place in your gallery area.
Right.
And it's Hanson 360.
Yeah, that's a free event. It goes from noon to 8 o'clock on Saturday in our gallery, and it's a virtual reality. And it's the first time it's been shown, and it's actually made at the recording studio of Hanson. But they said it takes you completely in another world, literally. Yeah. And you'll do all that for free in our lobby.
This was one that this is Steelhouse Productions, which is actually one of our Tulsa Crew production companies. We were telling them about our film festival, asking, you know, if they had anything that we could show there. And they were like, hey, we're working on this Hanson 360 thing. It's on this song, Compromise. And it just kind of fit with us. You know, it's a different way of storytelling. The 360 thing, I think people are still trying to figure out, you know, what are we doing with this, all this technology? It's interesting, you know, it's kind of like a...
sort of an immersive experience where you're literally in the studio.
You're literally watching the Hansons record, like, and no other opportunity would you have to do that.
Yeah,
and it'll be happening all Saturday from noon to 8 o'clock free in our lobby.
There's one other special event, which will involve an area, a nightclub next to the circle, the Bar 473, where Republican Hair will perform. That will be the following night after Luke Dick, who's a Nashville-based songwriter, a Oklahoma City native, who is also a filmmaker, I guess after the showing of his documentary Red Dog.
Well, that involves his mother and her pursuit of income. And she was a stripper per se, and actually he grew up in that environment. And it's very well explained in the documentary. They said it's excellent. It explains his life growing up and how he finally became a musician. And now not only do we get to watch him this night with a Q&A post the film, the next night you can come watch him and Republican Hair from Nashville play at 473.
Right. Yeah, Red Dog is a film, a documentary by Luke Dick that you look at it and it's a documentary about a kid growing up in a strip club. And I don't know what everybody thinks about that initially, but when I thought about it, I was like, wow, that's interesting. Let's see what's going on. But then going in and watching the film, it's just amazing. I think, you know, it's about kind of like a mother that had a kid young. She left home when she was 15. She was married at 15 and left Colorado or something, come to Oklahoma. And just kind of a survival story of this woman and what she had to do to survive. And it's amazing.
And of course, he's telling his own story in a way. And and you know, here he come from that environment and thrived and is doing very well.
Yeah, Republican Hair, both of these films, we saw the film at South By, and then also Republican Hair played at the Tulsa FMAC Film Showcase. And so we actually got to see him play. I was like, man, that would be so cool to bring him back. But yeah, his music is pop, Prince, fun, indie, so cool.
My guests today are Chuck Foxon and Clark Weens from Circle Cinema as they present their second film festival this weekend, this Thursday through Sunday, with, as you can tell, just a wide range of events, of film events, and lots of Q&As with the filmmakers. It's a great way to showcase Oklahoma film and people connected with Oklahoma film, and they're our guests today on Studio Tulsa. Well, you mentioned earlier, Clark, you said you had not yet seen Red Dog, and I was wondering, when you're booking these films...
Well, he had.
Yes, I understand.
Yeah, so we share those duties, yes.
So you have seen all the films that you're showing, or is it some cases it's like...
I think we've seen 90% of them. Yeah. I seem like a juice, and he's seen this, and he's seen that. And we try to work it together through festivals elsewhere, or to get them sent to us.
You know, one film like Turlton, Sterling Harjo's film, you know, he's putting that thing together, and, you know, we're...
Not finished.
We're communicating back and forth, and he's like, how long do you want it? Because he's actually, you know...
It's in progress.
Yeah, they're making these films. This film's going to be cut down for TV to 15 minutes or so. But we're getting this extended story, 45-minute plus cut of this film, which I think is very cool.
I think it's cool.
And, yeah, so a lot of stuff he's still putting together. And a filmmaker like Sterling Harjo, we trust, is going to have a great story and, you know... fit right into our program.
And that's part of a program called Oklahoma Shorts, which will take place Saturday, July 13th at 1 o'clock. And the other short will be The Third, which features OSU basketball player Lindy Waters III.
Right. And that's actually from the OCO TV show, which is actually our neighbor production company. And, you know, been a great neighbor for us. That film... It's just interesting to know when you start looking at these films, they are telling these personal stories, like I said. And, you know, maybe there's something you don't know too much about this Lindy Waters, which is a great basketball player, and where he come from. And it just gives you so much more respect. You know, you learn so much about these people. It's really great.
Mm-hmm. Is there a little small film that perhaps you would advise people, say, you know, if you can only make one film, this might be one to catch. Mm. Is there a personal favorite for
well,
you?
Well, I personally have not seen it. It's Blue Bird. I've read so much about it and heard so many vibrations, and he's seen it, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and this is the film about the Nashville Cafe.
Like Cigar Works and stuff and where they started.
Yeah.
For myself, I think that Arrows of Outrageous Fortune, looking forward to seeing that one again. Some of these things, too, it's like I've seen them in festivals 6 months ago. It's nice to come back and see them, how they kind of resonate in Tulsa and at Circle Cinema. You know, a lot of, I think like filmmakers like that as well, they'll go around and travel with their film, but when they bring them back, they want to see how hometown people respond to them. So a lot of them I'm interested to see how people respond, even like To the Stars, which Oklahoma film, Oklahoma made film.
One other major film that you'll be showing, and this is the 83 film that's sort of become, I think in many cases, our Tulsa anthem, if you will, the Outsiders. And there'll be a Walk of Fame dedication for producer Gray Fredrickson.
Yes, and Gray Fredrickson is now teaching or has taught at OU and produced many, many films, large films, Apocalypse Now, all kinds of films. And he did help produce and was one of the main Outsiders. So he will be here to be honored on our Walk of Fame out front with a dedication and then a subsequent showing and an introduction by him of The Outsiders.
You know, The Outsiders is something, you know, you've seen many showings, cable, you know. And,
absolutely.
And it does come back. Do people from Tulsa still come out to
they
see
it? They come
that?
Out. I tell you what, it's kind of like it's the big screen. Uh-huh. You put something on a 40-foot screen versus, say, if you're lucky, a 65-inch screen at home. And there's just a difference. And the community of people watching something in a like manner, there's no question it brings something out of it. I just mentioned my wife did about Casablanca. And I've seen it so many times. But you watch it on a big screen and it just get involved. You're immersed in the film.
They're actually the cut that we show at Circle Cinema. We show it to kids, Tulsa students all the time. They come in and they get these free educational screenings. We do those. But the cut of the film that we use is the full cut. I forget the name
right.
of it. But
Director's
it actually
cut or something.
Yeah, it's the latest one they did like 5 years ago. But they actually, it shows the Circle Cinema. It shows Ponyboy walking out of the theater.
We're a little prejudiced on showing that one. Yeah.
And it shows him walk out of the theater, and it shows the marquee and everything, and then it shows him kind of peeking into the new theater next door, the lobby, through the windows when the Corvair starts chasing him right in the very opening scene. So that's the cut of the film we use.
I want to mention a couple other things because it just sort of focuses on the fact that this is a film festival at a 90-year-old film house, which is you have the restored organ, so you have a silent film day.
Absolutely.
So Dr. Joseph Rivers from the Film Scoring and Film Studies Department at the University of Tulsa is, curating a selection of...
There are six Okies that appeared in silent films. We will have the medallions for all those out, three new ones coming and three on the walk, and they will have clips, in some cases, full little shorts, like 10, 12 minutes. And Bill Rowland is a guy who provides most of the film, and he is our organist and... The organ is the original organ, and it's pretty awesome to watch silent movies in a screen of that nature.
And so that'll happen on Saturday morning.
Saturday, and it's free. Yeah. Free to all at 11 o'clock
something
on Saturday morning.
Something I always tell the people that come in, our guests, to watch those silent films, is that the pipe organ behind the screen is as large as the screen behind there, full of wind-powered instruments. It's almost like
1,600 different pipes.
It's a little unappreciated because you can't see it and don't know what's going on, but there's huge... air pumps pumping wind, and all of those noises are coming from wind-powered instruments, and there's pipes and metal, wood, there's drums and shakers and all these weird instruments that are powered by wind.
It's 40-some feet across and 20 feet high with nothing but like 1,600 different pipes in it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Amazing thing to see.
Well, as you can tell, there's something for everybody in this festival, and I assume a number of these will be ticketed events, but it sounds like there'll be a variety of free events as well.
A variety of free events, as you alluded to the shorts. We'll have a lot of local shorts on 2 days, and they'll be shown free, and I think Katie Hayter is curating that, and we had a lot of offers, and they brought, I think, the best of this, and these are the ones they'll show on both Saturday and Sunday at noon.
All right. Well, gentlemen, if people want information on, I guess there are still medallions for the whole festival if you want to go see films throughout the whole week.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then...
otherwise, we would look forward to having you attend.
And how do people get information?
Yeah, our website, circlecinema.com, and then all the social media platforms, whatever the hot one is now.
Whatever that might be.
Clark and Chuck, thanks very much for joining
us. Thank you much, KWGS. You've been very kind to us always. Thank you.
Clark Weens and Chuck Foxen of the Circle Cinema discussing the second film festival the Circle Cinema will be presenting this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, with an additional event on Monday, the 91st anniversary of the theater. For information on the festival, visit circlecinema.com. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Mark Darrow.
In the late 1970s or the early 1980s, little blue highway signs appeared at random locations by the sides of Oklahoma highways. They read, "Drive friendly." Some people thought the signs were corny. Others thought them meaningless since they provided no specific directions. I liked these signposts because they reminded drivers of one of our state's virtues. We are a friendly people. We express that in how we drive and how we live. Over the years, the signs rusted, were taken down, and not replaced. The last remnants disappeared about 20 years ago, around the time of 9/11. One of the touted laws passed in a recent legislative session provides that on a four-lane highway, the left-hand lane is only for passing. Otherwise, all motorists must stay in the right lane. When this bill was considered, some protested that those who drive the speed limit must yield to those who don't, that it validates the driving habits of those whose sense of urgency compels them to act without regard to the law or to others. Besides, most drivers stay in the right lane anyway. In 2017 and early 2018, signs went up on Oklahoma's interstate highways about every 10 or 12 miles, with one on the left and a corresponding one on the right. The ones on the left read in black and white letters, "Do not impede traffic in left lane." The black and white lettered signs on the right read, "Slower traffic, keep right." In orange and black on the top of each, travelers were reminded this is state law. The signs provided a clear message. In Oklahoma, those who drive the fastest and most aggressively have the right-of-way. Then, as quickly as they went up, the signs came down except for an occasional slower traffic keep right reminder. Someone had written a letter to the editor of the Tulsa World with a complaint that people don't know what the word impede means, but I never saw a reason for the signs' removal. Maybe the contractor that made the signs didn't get paid. Maybe someone in authority realized the signs didn't accurately reflect state law. Maybe someone thought selling the signs on eBay to help fund public education makes a better use of state resources. I don't know. I like to think the missing signs won't come back, and instead a few randomly placed blue signs will appear along the sides of our interstate highways that simply read, "Drive friendly."
Mark Darrow is a local attorney, a writer, an essayist, and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.